We thank you that we can come together this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken the word to us, that we may, Lord, be able to receive it in our hearts and may produce the fruit you send it for in us. We just thank you for it. We, Lord, are going to receive it with glad hearts, knowing that, Lord, from it we get direction, life, anointing, power, healing, everything that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's start with a confession this morning about the things we've been reading about. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, has given to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of my understanding are being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Praise the Lord. Amen. When you say this, you read these things, you appropriate it for yourself. You make it real. You start confessing it. You start speaking it. And we're going to see some of the things that should be happening as a result of that. One of the things we saw, that one of the things that because of what Jesus did, now we are seated in heavenly places. We have to realize the implication and the understanding of what that means. In Ephesians 2:6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, that's something that you have to speak to yourself all the time. Let's do it right now. And raised us me together. It made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the reality. You see, this is a past tense. It's not future. It's not something that we are going to be sitting when we go to heaven. He has done it in the past. Even before we got saved. The thing is, we couldn't be there because we weren't agreeing with it. So now that we understand that, you know, even if you accepted the Lord, and you do not know that being the case, you are not sitting up there. Hello? So you're sitting there only when you know that you're sitting there and you take the position that you are sitting there. This is why, you know, what happens is lots of believers have no victory whatsoever because they're not sitting up there, they're sitting down here. And some of them are sitting even lower than down here because they believe all the wrong thing. You see, what you believe is what you receive. So you have to make sure that you think right. And we are going to see some scripture if we have the time. They talk exactly about that. How people that do not have the understanding, what I said before, that the eye of my understanding being enlightened. So you see, our understanding in the knowledge of Him should be expanded, and not that doesn't happen because of your thinking. See, some people think they go and do the Bible study and they go and get it. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. This is the problem with majority of the Christians today. They do a Bible study and they think that the Bible study is going to do it. Bible studying is only mental exposure to ideas, has to go much deeper than your mind. as to get down to your heart where it's starting to operate on a life level. And to do that, you have to understand the part you have to play. This is why you have to sometime tell yourself the same thing over and over again, because you are telling yourself things that are wrong. That's why you don't get the right things. That's why you don't get the right results. Because you speak to yourself and you say the wrong thing because you believe those things. Instead of accepting what God says, you accept what you think. Or what your experience has been. Well, on that basis, you never get saved. How can you get saved if you go by the experience that you have before you get saved? See, being saved is something new that happens, that you never have experienced before. Anything that God does is not you doing it, is not your thinking doing it, it's that He brings you into a new different level. It's always a miracle. So you better learn to receive miracles. There is no difference between being saved, being forgiven, and being healed. And I was reading the scriptures this week about healing, and the Lord has been ministering and preparing me for some stuff in that area. And one of the things is evident that you don't get healed because you are forgiven. First are healed, then forgiven. Jesus first was whipped and then died on the cross. Now, it's not just one place. It's everywhere in the scriptures. If you see the sequence, people heal and then are forgiven. See, this is why, you know, you can go in somebody that's completely not saved, get them healed, and then you get them saved. And that's scriptural. That's the way Jesus did it. But that's not the way most of the people would do it. So you accept Jesus, and then it's like trying to get somebody to get good before they go to church. You can't get good. You don't have the ability to become good or become righteous. It's God doing it. So go in the right place where you can get that. We'll talk about this. Let's go to see some of the consequences here. Okay. Of sitting in heavenly places. In that scripture that I was reading before, it says, you know, that in the ages to come, and I believe, you know, the ages to come are starting to happen now. He may show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see, He's starting to, I believe that we are moving in the time, because He's coming back soon, in which ages to come is going to be evident. The power of God working in us and doing miracles in us, and it's not us doing it. More than has ever been seen before. And if you see all the prophecies and in the past, talks about the end time, about this great revival. Well, we haven't seen anything yet. We are going to see something happening, and that revival is going to come because of the power of God is going to be manifested. So the fact is that there is the exceeding riches of His grace. Is going to be manifested. That's what he's talking about here. And how is it going to be manifested? How do you receive grace? Anybody? God just pours it like that? Absolutely. So you see, the faith level of believer has to increase as we're getting closer to the coming back of the Lord. There is no way. That means the level of believing has to change. One of the things that he said, Jesus said, when I come back, I will find faith on earth. Well, evidently it's going to be more than now. And we had to see that happening. We had to start opening ourselves up for that reality, for us to be part of that reality. This is what God wants. This is a plan from the very beginning. This is what He wants, to bring us back where Adam was before he fell. He wasn't sick. He wasn't in trouble. He didn't, you know, he was in control of the world around. He dominated the world. This is where He wants to bring us. Now, one of the first things that's going to happen, everybody talks about that God wants us to make us like Jesus. Amen? Okay. How is that going to happen? Because of the work we do? Because of the things we try to, because of the way we are trying to be good, or trying to, or is God work that He's going to do in us? He's going to actually make it happen. The way it happened is happened by faith. That scripture I put on the Thanksgiving, on the Thanksgiving group there, is 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Him." See, that's the way we become righteous. Now, that understanding is critical for us to get anywhere. See, because unless we know that we are the righteousness of God, and we start being that, not just mental knowledge, but it becomes a reality for us, and we have to see what that means in a moment. It's not just going around, "I'm the righteousness of God, I'm the righteousness of God." Doesn't make you the righteousness of God. It makes you saying that you are the righteousness of God. Hello? Is when you actually become the righteousness of God in faith, in Him. You don't even need to go around saying it anymore, because you are. Now, being the righteousness of God means not to be religious. It doesn't mean to just look in a certain way. It means that we are the way God wants us to be. That's exactly what it means. And that means, you know, we are the same as Jesus. He was exactly the way God wanted Him to be. Well, there are so many scriptures, and I'm going to just try to get these righteousness things resolved, or get you to understand some things, because this is what makes the difference. In Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says, by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gifts of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Well, let's get a moment here. Just get some of the things that He's telling us. Okay? Death, sin, and all the other things came from Adam. That's what He's saying. Much more than what happened. You see, everybody is under that problem. Okay? So, so much more, those who receive abundance of grace. This is the abundance. You see, the grace He's talking about here is the power of God enabling us to be the way God wants us to be righteous. See, this is God's plan from the beginning. He wants to bring us back to where we were. We were before the fall. And Jesus came just for the purpose, not just to forgive our sins or to heal even us. It's to make us back to the way to become again children or sons of God. See, you have to be a child before you can be a son. So you had to grow. But the idea, the desire, the plan of God was to restore what was taken away. And He says, you know, that to us, so much more, as we lost that condition, that state, through one man that messed up the situation, so much more, those who receive the abundance of grace are going to be able to have a better result, a more of impact. See? and of the gift of righteousness. You see, that Adam was righteous before he fell. He was the way God wanted him to be. Is that he made the wrong choices and he submitted himself to Satan. Okay? Well, you see, when we receive the gift of righteousness, we are not anymore in that condition. But when we are born again, we should already experience that. If we are really understanding what it means that we have, what happened to us, we are there already. The point is, our mind hasn't caught up yet. Because our understanding is not there. And so how is our understanding going to happen there? It's because the Holy Spirit is going to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can grasp what is out already. You know, it's like you have a billion in the bank and you go around with broken shoes. That's the comparison. I'm not talking about 1 million, I'm talking about 1 billion. Because it's much more than you can ever think. And as a result of that, says, will reign in life. Doesn't say that we are defeated, that we have a loser, we reign, we have dominion around, on the world around us. Hello? Are you still there? I mean, this is so far-fetched, almost too good to be true, but that's what the gospel is. See, we reign as kings because we have authority. This is the authority we are talking about. To reign, you have to have authority. And so, the authority that is given to us, okay, is the authority that we have to exercise. Authority, if it's not exercised, means nothing. Like a policeman or somebody has authority, but if he doesn't say stop, nothing happens. He has to exercise the authority that he has. The same way we have to exercise the authority that we have. What is our authority against? Well, it's not against man. Our authority is against principalities and powers. And everything that comes from the devil. The same way as Jesus operated his authority. You see, Jesus went around, didn't go around telling people what to do or bossing people around. He went around setting them free from the demons. From the sickness, which is about the same thing anyway. That authority over sickness, over demon power, over all those things is ours. And we had to exercise it. And we had to believe that we can exercise it, because otherwise, if you don't believe, it's not going to work. And this is the problem most of the time. See, the scripture, if you see the scripture when it talks about praying the prayer of faith, for example. Prayer of faith is a prayer in which your authority is exercised. And doesn't say that when you pray the prayer of faith, if it's the will of God, the person gets healed. Does it? No, they say, they shall be healed. So it's not a question of if or am, but it you can expect to happen if you are praying the prayer of faith. Now, it's not because we call it a prayer of faith that it's prayer of faith. It's because there is faith inside you to do it. Well, that's what the problem is, that people don't have the faith to believe that what they are speaking about is going to happen. And so it doesn't happen. I mean, otherwise, the Bible is telling us lies. Okay, let's continue here. So, really, we as believers, we have a ministry of authority. We exercise authority in his place because we are his body now. And so we do the same thing that Jesus was doing. We don't go around trying to fix people and correct people and tell them what to do. We just go and set them free and get them forgiven, and then they're going to do what they had to do because they've been changed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 there says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what does it mean? What, the head over what? I mean, being on top of what? Well, on top of the things that sickness, disease, the works of the devil, those are the things that Jesus had authority over. Even the environment, when it's the case, because the environment is submitted to you. But, you know, we have to start believing. And there are evidences, not just with Jesus, but with people later on, that when they understood, they got into the place of authority, they got this kind of results because they believed what they believed. So the things that has to change within ourselves is the things we actually believe. See, we have to think right. And this is what we ask God in that verses that hopefully you are praying daily. Okay, that he give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So revelation is just revealing to us what is already there. It's not that it gives you something new. Okay, it's giving you the understanding of what you actually have already. So it's not that it's giving something. If you're a born-again believer, you already have everything you need for life and godliness. Most of the people feel that they are failures. They cannot do things. Well, so there is a change of thinking that has to take place, and now that change of thinking is going to happen when you go to the Word of God and you believe the Word of God against the things that you think or the things you have experienced. This is walking in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. You cannot walk in the flesh and inherit the kingdom. And I know that sometimes it may be difficult. This is why there is a body, you know, so that we can pray for each other. If somebody is in pain and you go, at that moment, the pain is stronger than their decision of, unless this person is really spiritually strong, the ability to hold on to the truth that by stripes they were ill in the past. Because the pain is telling them on their face, look at you're hurting there. You're sick there. There is always a paradox in every truth of the gospel. Every spiritual truth has a paradox that you cannot resolve in your mind. And unless you accept it by faith, because God says so, you're never going to experience it. How are we going to develop that faith? Well, you know, one of it is really meditating on the Word of God and accepting it and thinking about it and start to make it become a reality for you. But the other thing is actually to see others that broke through and were able to make that connection and can exercise that authority to the degree that they can. So you can learn from them something, because they have something that you don't have. They demonstrate the power of God. What did Paul say? That your faith may be based on the power of God and not on the reasoning or the philosophy or the thinking of man. See, that's how the faith can develop, when you start looking at the Word of God more than anything else. You have to connect with God and start demonstrating the authority that you have. And the first place to demonstrate your authority is in your life. Don't try to change the world if you cannot change yourself. The tendency is always to blame somebody else because things don't happen. We blame God because of all the things that happens. We get sick, well, God put you this to give you a lesson. It's complete nonsense. God doesn't do those things. He's not a masochist. The people that teach that are, besides being ignorant. See, the idea is there is no place in the New Testament in which that is ever said. So one of the things we had to do, most important, and we had to close. No, but before, one of the things we had to do is to renew our mind. You see, when we renew our mind, then we are going to be able to think differently. We had to deal with our mind that keep us bound because of our experience, because of our thinking, because of the things that they taught us, because of everything, and change and put the Word of God in there so that we can start thinking the way God thinks. See, we had to look at what God says, and sometimes, you know, even reading what God says, we interpret it the wrong way because we have been exposed to the wrong interpretation. See, we had to change the way we think. We had to learn to think right. Because that's the beginning. You see, your mind is the door to the heart. And if you think wrong, there is no way that you're going to get anything. You know, if you don't know that God wants to save you, you know, you're going to be there anguishing in nothing, you know, getting nowhere because you don't know that God loves you. So somebody has to tell you that God loves you, or you have to find out someplace and another. If you don't know that God wants to heal you, how are you going to get healed? The only thing is because of the natural processes in nature, but you're not going to have a supernatural healing taking place in you. See, God is going to go as far as you let Him go with you. And as far that is determined by what you think, what your belief system. So the thing you have to work on is your belief system. And the way you work on your belief system, you start taking scripture like we have been doing for this week, and you start reading them, and you start meditating on them, and start applying them, and starting asking God to show what is saying there so that you can actually appropriate. And when you see something is so far off that you can grasp it, you say, you know, God, please, Holy Spirit, show me what does it mean, how does it apply to me, because it doesn't apply now. It's not a question of being parrots or reading things. It's a question of realizing that there is something that we haven't got that the Word says we should have. Amen. But if we think we got everything, the story is ended right there. If you are happy where you are, you're not going to get anywhere. So one of the things that we had to want is to realize that there is more of God that we can get, and there is, if you want, a price to pay to get it, and the price to pay is to be separated from the other things. God is going to always back you up in your position if you hold on to what He said. Now, you have to do that wisely. Okay, so sometimes it's good to get some wisdom along the line and maybe get help, especially when you are a new believer, because new believers get crazy ideas and then don't work, and they blame God because it doesn't work, when instead, you know, realizing, you know, well, something was wrong with me. See, the same story. We try something. Doesn't work? Why, God, you let me do that? You know, that's really, I'm going to read scripture to prove that. That's the way to get in trouble with God. That's rejecting Him. That why is really an indication where your heart is, that is not really believing God. I'm telling you because we don't have the time to... If you want, next week, if I remember, I'm going to root it down. So I'm going to show scripture that says that. See, we don't like to take the responsibility for the decisions we make. Instead, you know, our decisions are the only thing that God looks at. When we make the wrong decision, it's because we have, the way God made us, is that we make the decision that we think is the most convenient one for us, the one is going to give us the most benefit. So if we sin, it's because we think that doing that is better than do what God says. That's what Adam and Eve did. I mean, God said them something, the enemy goes there and put that question mark in their mind, and they believed him, and they followed that instead of following. Why did they follow the devil instead of following God? Because they believed him more than God. Any sin comes out of unbelief, nothing else. Because if you believe that God can take care of you, you don't need to sin. You do what God says. Simple as that. Okay, we have to close for today. But we're going to see, talk about the renewing of the mind, and I'm going to put the why here. So I'm going to show you the scripture there. Amen? Let's pray that the thing we talked about sink in and we can start applying them to our life, because this is really going to make a difference. We have to grow up. God wants us to grow up, not to remain infant after many years of being Christians. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can depend on you. You are faithful. Your word is true. And you guide us, Lord, into all righteousness, because you have given us Jesus' righteousness. Lord, help us to realize that and understand what that means in practical terms in our life. It's not a question for us going around boasting about being righteous. It's a question, oh Lord, manifesting that righteousness. And so we just thank you today, Lord, for the wonderful things you've done for us. Open our eyes. Give us spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that we may become the people we are. In Jesus' name. Amen.